Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Potterfic Weekly. I am Ryan.
And I'm Danielle.
And bored on this Friday evening, we have decided to make a commentary of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone for your viewing pleasure. If you were on the other side of the pond, that would be Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, which is the title I prefer anyway. So you guys got one right. So
at this point, we're putting the DVD into the player. I will say, I don't like the menu on this because if you don't hit play, you know, in a timely enough manner, the DVD gets mad and plays the movie itself, which kind of bugs me. So, we're only starting it now, because if we don't, the movie will just start
itself. So you guys have time, put your DVDs in now. And just so you know, there will be no editing in this episode. We can't, because we're trying to keep time with the movie. You know, usually every week I spend 8, 9, 10 hours, you know, polishing our episodes of Potterfic Weekly. I remove all the mistakes and the mumbling. None of that here tonight. This is us completely unedited. This is us completely live. If my car gets repossessed during the showing of this episode, you will hear it with me live. Including the parts where I eat cookies, chew. Always go to your local supermarket and buy chocolate chip cookies if you're going to watch a Harry Potter play.
But only ones that are made with real butter.
Never use the margarine or the rosin. Yeah. There you go. All right. Okay. All right, everyone, if your DVD is not in, pause us now. Otherwise, get ready on the menu. We are putting the little stardust around play movie, and on the count of three, we're going to hit play movie. If for whatever reason you have to pause us tonight, you know, always pause the movie first and then us and then start us first and then the movie and just try and keep up. So on the count of three, hit play movie. And that's, as I say, three. Hit it. One, two, three. And we are off. Was this the first movie that you saw in the theater?
Yes. And I was sitting next to a little kid who had obviously read all the books. And he would say what was about to happen right before it happened.
That must have been annoying.
He had a very scary-looking father. I didn't want to say anything.
Well, you're kind of little, too.
Yeah. But I loved it.
I saw Sorcerer's Stone first. And just so we can clarify, neither of us had read the books.
Right. I had no idea what Harry Potter was about, except what I saw in the commercials.
I saw Sorcerer's Stone with a friend of mine from college, and we were in the spider scene.
Look, here comes Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Richard Harris. I love him.
Come back. We know you died.
Come
just
back.
Come back.
There's good old McGonagall.
Okay, you're being like the kid. You're telling them it's going to happen.
Well, they've seen it by now. I mean, I'd never seen
Wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't this be awful if the first time they're listening to the movie, they're listening to it with us?
It's what do they call it?
The
Put-outer? Put-outer?
You never see that thing again.
Put-outer, that sounds
for the
bad.
Rest of the, for the rest of the series, you know, they use their wand to do all these complicated spells with black
I know, he could do that with
he's
his
like
wand.
Inspector,
I don't know why he...
Have you noticed he's Inspector Gadget during this first scene? Or he's like, no, he's Batman. He's Bat Dumbledore. But if you notice, he leaves all the lights on the front porches. It's the nun from Sister Act.
It's Lady Wendy.
Who?
From Hook. Oh, she's great.
You know what they cut here? They cut the scene with Vernon the day before.
Yes. Yes, they cut out Vernon driving around, seeing, you know, all these weird things and people dressed oddly and all that. Oh, here comes Hagrid. And Sirius Black's motorbike.
I love the thought process. If we turn all the lights off, they'll never see this giant come down in a motorcycle blast.
With a very bright light on it, yes.
So I should have told him to turn off the beams. Is there like fog coming off him, or is that the bike? That's the bike.
It's the bike.
For those of you wondering, I'm almost done with my cookie. After listening to chewing for much longer. I'd like to have none of these characters aged in the next 10 years. I think it would have been so easy for them to give, like, McGonagall solid black hair and just have it be gray in 10 years. Looks like it could have been a day before.
Although I wonder how much they really age in 10 years as opposed to humans because, well, as opposed to muggles because wizards supposedly live a long time.
Because Dumbledore is, what, like 150?
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the half moon spectacles. A
real Dumbledore.
And he's not wearing a fez. I like that. What's with Gambon's hat? I don't get it.
For the rest of these commentaries, and we're doing all of the movies, Michael Gambon is officially he who must not be named. This is the real Dumbledore.
Yeah.
I love that name. I think I'm too old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that look of Maggie Smith right there. It's the non-stern, softy McGonagall. I want to know what was in that leather so badly.
Remember my last.
So if it's remember my last, there was something before that.
Of course. Well, J.K. Rowling's already alluded to that.
I know, I just wanted to seem smart.
Okay. This poor kid living in a cupboard. I mean, this is just awful. Oh my god, I hate that woman. that last little slap. Get up! What a beastly child. I don't think Dudley's quite fat enough.
He must be a small whale by Goblet of the Fire, right?
He's as tall as he is wide.
Well, when we get to the movie Goblet of the Fire, we'll just do a comparison of the Dudley now and the Dudley then, since he's played such a prominent role in Goblet of the Fire, the movie.
Now, did he have a fat suit on in this one, or is that later?
I don't want to insult the actor and answer either way.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Maybe he's listening.
He's not going to hear this.
We have a lot of members. We have a lot of listeners.
And no offense, but Richard Griffiths, my God, very scary looking man. I mean, he is...
I think he actually, doesn't he need a cane now? I think in the
it's very,
commentary
very kind of scary
track
looking
for
to me.
Prisoner of Azkaban, I think he actually has a cane.
Although he's perfect for Vernon. I mean, that he's great. Uncle Vernon.
It was on one of the message boards on Leaky, and they were actually talking about Ultraman. I can't remember, but they had another character someone mentioned they wished he could play if he wasn't playing Vernon. I can't think of who it is now. Slughorn.
Mm. Him. I hate to say it, but he reminds me of my neighbor.
I've met
just
the neighbor.
Way he walks.
I've met the neighbor. We're going to call him Steve.
Yeah.
Oh god, Steve even has the stash.
Although I like the way they did Privet Drive.
Number four, Privet Drive.
As we leave Privet Drive for the zoo, but I like the way they do it.
I love the look Petunia is about to give Dudley here as she walks up.
Oh.
Jackass.
Yeah.
Just so you know, too, in this commentary as we go forward, we haven't met any of these actors. We haven't seen the sets. We're going to be completely, completely unhinged and just completely accurate in what we...
We're going to be ruthless, as Jen said, because,
Jen,
you know, she wants a ruthless one.
You don't mess with Jen. I mean, Jen's a pretty powerful person.
Yeah. She's very committed.
Jen could buy and sell me, I think, on the forum. I think she's actually attempting a hostile takeover bid. Love you, Jen. For those of you not knowing what I'm talking about, visit potterficforum.com. I love that. You can just move them aside, or you can just, like, throw them into the next room. Oh, watch for it. Watch for it.
Oh, yay.
I love that shot of Harry's, emerald green eyes right there.
Oh, the nice and blue, yeah. And his hair's not black, it's brown. That's okay. It's at least a little bit messy.
He just got thrown to the ground. Of course it's messy. How is that messy?
No, it's not messy enough.
At least he has hair in this movie.
Well, his glasses are right, okay? You know, and the clothes. The clothes are obviously too big for him.
Last bit of the cookie, everybody, so you can
Didn't you say that 5 minutes ago?
Well, I was chewing very slowly.
Oh, okay.
Mommy!
Mommy, I'm a freakish exhibit at a zoo.
She's like one of those French mimes who's like doing the hand thing right there. I love it.
Well,
I have to say this. My father had that cap in his will. He left it to me, so I actually have Vernon's hat around here somewhere. Oh. I love that. They still have him in the blanket. What a wuss.
Mm-hmm. Not thrilled with the acting in this scene. You can just tell Dan Radcliffe's a rookie. He's like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes while I yell, then I can open my eyes again. He definitely improves as this movie goes on. Well, as the series goes on. First of many owls coming up. I love the owls, though. I love that they weren't all CGI owls, either.
Most of them are real, I think. Yeah. I'm playing in my web browser as we're doing this, everybody. I love how Danielle's like, what are you doing?
Oh, for the longest time, it took me forever to figure out that what Petunia is doing in the background is actually dyeing his Dudley's old clothes for Harry. I was like, oh, was she cooking cabbage or something? I don't know.
No, why is she actually putting effort into Harry there? Why isn't she just throwing them at him?
That's a good point. I don't know. Unless he's supposed to have a uniform and they won't buy him one, so they're just dyeing all the clothes gray. I don't know. Ooh. I remember Harry said they would be elephant
skin. Yeah, Harry's going to a new school this year, right?
Right. Away from Dudley, who's got his stupid melting stick or whatever it's called.
Smelting stick?
What is it called?
It's not called... we're going to go with smelting stick. How about we go with smelting
That's
stick?
Not right.
We're going to go with smelting stick.
I should know. I've read these books how many times?
I forgot Harry had... Doesn't it just seem so odd with everything going on in Deathly Hallows and Half-Blood Prince that Harry would just be playing with toys in his little closet there?
And managing to look almost, well, not happy, but a little moment to himself.
I believe the phrase you were looking for there was bored out of your mind.
Oh, yeah. She really has a horse-like face. That was good casting.
I love how he just, like, protects her from the owls there. That was nice. It's his best moment in the entire movie. It's the little handshake thing he does right here.
Yeah. Yes, I'm burning your letters. And I'm enjoying it. Oh, he's going nuts. Look at his hair. Oh, God. He
reminds me of Richard Dreyfuss and What About Bob in the scene. Yes. When he's starting to become unhinged. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, Vernon, get a comb.
Congratulations. You have been selected to receive two...
Sorry, everybody. I was on Leaky right there, and it started doing a little advertising. Ow! Don't hit me when I have coffee in my hand.
Don't web browse while we're doing a commentary.
Well, it's Vernon's decomposing scene right there. We have some time. I love this one right here. It's the blanket.
Come on, Harry. Grab one and run to your cupboard.
That was a little unbelievable about
this. Yeah. Come on. Oh, God, Dudley. What a wimp.
I love
it. Come on, he's got plenty of time here. What? Paper. He's already got one. Come on.
That's unbelievable that he can't even get one of them.
And they're looking, you can just tell, they're like, okay, we can't really make these all real letters. They're just pieces of paper. They're so flimsy.
They're the $300 million budget.
The editing is bad here.
What's that?
Harry's mouth isn't moving. When he says, let go of me, his mouth isn't moving. It's bad editing.
If he can't back it up, that would just throw everybody off.
Well, next time you watch it, you'll notice.
Okay.
Sorry, well, you said we were going to be ruthless, so I'm just pointing out that the editing was bad there.
All right. My cookie has been eaten, my coffee is gone. I'm about to get motivated. Where is this? I know it's the lighthouse, but, like, did he book a lighthouse on, like, lighthouse.com? Like, how did they get here? This doesn't look like their summer home. It's way too dirty to be between their summer home.
As I recall, they're just driving around, and he's so desperate just to get away that he finds, like, He just, like, remember, comes back to the car with potato chips and a key and is, like, has this gleam in his eye, and he's like, ha-ha, I found the answer.
You can picture, like, the outtake there that I'm sure Julie on the forum is about to write for us, even though Neville's not in it, where he goes and, like, up to the guy and says, can I borrow your lighthouse for a bit?
Well, it's not even, though. Isn't it just a shack?
Yeah, they're on the light. I think they're on the lighthouse, aren't they? Why does he have a gun with him, too? Just playing.
Because he's a paranoid old man.
Did he buy the gun?
Yeah, actually, didn't. Is that, yeah, isn't that the book? Doesn't he buy? He might. Yeah, I can't remember. I love Hagrid.
Not in the books, but I just love it. He's so good as Hagrid.
Look how big his feet are. I love it. Like, freakishly big.
I was getting a stomach growling right there, just so you so.
Oh, I love this part.
You're breaking an intro. Here's a good question. What if he shot Hagrid right before that?
I guess he was feeling pretty good about that.
It bounced off him. Spells bounced off him. You know what jumps out at me here? Arabella Fig was watching Harry all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And he reported back to Dumbledore that Harry was being mistreated.
Sorry, I just love that. Baked it myself, words and all. I love that. That's such a Hagrid line.
You know, just...
happy birthday, Harry!
I gotta save this for our commentary on Order of the Phoenix. It just still shocks me that they knew what was going on and no one came to get him. It's gotta be the love magic.
Yeah, sort of maybe a sacrifice they had to deal with.
Although he's definitely better off for it. A little hair color, so.
Well, so I think, you know, in a way, Jen had mentioned this on the forum, too, that it kind of prepares him for what he has to do. It makes him stronger, in a way, because he's not this innocent little kid.
Yeah, but, you know...
He's kind of already hardened, in a way.
Well, it works out well in the end, but it's definitely not something where you think, oh, good, he's being mistreated. This will make him such a better adult.
No,
I mean,
you definitely feel for the kid.
Someone should have done something.
I remember reading a review of this movie when it came out, and it was like, the person said, you know, you can almost picture Chris Columbus in the background going, okay, Harry, you're surprised now, widen your eyes. I mean, his acting just got so much better to the point now where he's in, you know, obviously theater productions that are very demanding roles, and he's just grown so much as an actor. It's kind of funny to see him. So young.
It's hard to believe, like, you're looking at the tabloid sign, you see the stories about naked Harry, and then you look back there and he's 11.
Yep.
I love Petunia in the scene. I can't think of the actress's name.
Fiona Shaw. Wait, look at that. They changed the subtitle.
Fiona.
Oh, some bitterness.
I think she spits on him in the scene too, doesn't she?
Yeah, practically. I love the way she says freak.
Freak. the lightning in the background there too.
Dudley. Oinker. He's such an oinker.
I'm sorry if we're not commenting enough. We're just, like, watching the scene. We're being pulled into it. I love Harry in the scene. He's, like, so proud someone's finally telling his uncle and aunt.
You actually have to give Brennan just a little bit of credit here. He's got this giant, you know, telling him.
I'm about to poke him with
the umbrella. And he still says no. You know.
Does he hate Harry that much, or does he?
Oh, I'm sure that's part of it. He doesn't want Harry to be happy.
This is Harry's best birthday ever.
Well, if they snapped Hagrid's wand in half, how does it still work?
I think he duct taped it back together.
Spell of tape.
I think it's like Ron's wand in movie two.
Which backfires half the time. He makes himself eat slugs.
Don't spoil the next movie, dear.
Sorry.
Yeah. I like this better how he takes him right away. In the book, don't they like live with him and like spoon with the
dresses? Well, it's odd because he takes him shopping and all that, but that's well before school starts, so they do all their shopping, and then doesn't he go back to...
He goes back to the Dursleys.
To the Dursleys for a while. Yeah, I kind of like this better.
Now, as we're recording this, I think Pottercast has either had or is going to have a live podcast at, I believe, a Borders right near where they are now. They're right down the street from the Leaky Cauldron.
Mm. And I love how...
The sign,
it only appears as they walk towards it. That's great.
For all the fanfics I read, I can never keep this image of the Leaky Cauldron in my head. I always imagine it differently.
Yeah, I agree. It's really not what I pictured the Leaky Cauldron to look like.
Okay, here's a real Tom, I think, in Prisoner of Azkaban. He's Uncle Fester, right?
Yeah, he's Uncle Fester with a hump on his back. He's very excited about his pea soup. That lady's kind of weird looking, that one that looks around back there.
I think they're all kind of weird looking.
Well, I like Doris. She looks nice.
Get away!
Get away!
I don't mean to spoil this for any of you, but the man who killed Harry's parents is duct taped to the back of that man's head.
Well, actually, oh yeah, he is at this point, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he was in the book, though. He wasn't, they weren't connected yet.
How do you know that?
I just remember reading in the book, oh, I don't remember, because he doesn't have the turban on. When he starts wearing the turban, I thought there was a point in the book where they say, oh, and after Christmas break, they all noticed Quirrell was wearing a turban, and there were rumors that it was stuffed with garlic because he was afraid of vampires or something, but he didn't always have it on.
I can't remember.
I don't think they were connected at this point yet in the book, but
I remember that.
I'm going to reread it soon anyway because book 7's coming out, and much sooner than...
Wait, whoa, book 7's coming out?
I'll stop.
Sue from Pottercast wanted to find this wall and bang on it. I don't think the wall's really there. But...
This part is awesome, though. I think they nailed Diagon Alley. It was just perfect.
I think it was Julie on the forum was saying this is actually how she pictured Hogsmeade.
Yeah,
you know what's terrifying too, and I know this is just because of the set they're using, but I can't actually picture Gringotts existing. It's too cramped. It's too claustrophobic.
Well, it's all the way there at the end, though, where it opens up a little bit.
Yeah, but when you read, I don't know. When you read, I just get the sense it's bigger and it's more expansive.
Yeah, it could be bigger, but I just think the atmosphere of it, the way the people look, the way the shops look,
definitely the atmosphere. But you know what? I it feels like a soundstage to me. It doesn't feel open enough. It really feels like they're in, you know, Studio B or whatever. Love this kid.
Oh. Ron would be proud.
Yeah,
see, it kind of opens up more as you get to Gringotts, so it's... I mean, how big really would it be? I mean, it's...
Well, maybe that's just one of the many streets.
Well, right, because as you know, if you go down one way, you get Nocturne
this
Alley.
This is what I picture Gringotts to be, though. They do a good job at this.
Oh, I love the little goblins. They're great.
Hey, it's Flitwick. Where is it?
It's Willow.
Oh, the stamps.
Yeah, here we go. It was Warwick Davis.
All those towers that Hagrid's on. I love it. This is like the very serious confrontational moment does he have the key to his safety deposit? He thinks they didn't have enough conflict this
time. Although, I think, if I remember right, in the book, doesn't, like, Hagrid pull the equivalent of a woman emptying out her purse? He just pulls out all the stuff from his pockets, and he's like, oh, here it is!
I had to edit episode 3 yesterday at work, so I borrowed headphones off of a co-worker, and she emptied, I think, Mary Poppins' purse onto her desk. This Marilyn, she emptied everything out.
Well, we should have gotten to see more of that ride, man.
Doesn't it feel like they were at Disneyland or something?
Yeah. And here we have Minnie-Me.
Minnie-Me.
Vern Troyer.
I love the waddle.
He reminds me of
a pregnant really woman trying to get to the ladies' room.
He's having trouble walking. That's just not right.
I work with pregnant people and with pregnant women. I sit, like, near a main hallway.
Right, you make it sound like you work in a maternity ward.
I don't. I work in the office, but all they do is waddle past me all day in the ladies' room. It's kind of amusing. Like a hate mail from the Pregnant Ladies Society.
Oh, look at all your money, Harry.
We never find out how he gets this.
I'm sure we will, though, in Deathly Hallows.
That's what they said about Order of the Phoenix. I'm sure we will in Hufflepuff.
There's a lot of backstory with Lily and James that we don't know.
You also have to wonder, too, if Dumbledore knew he had all of this money, was he saving it until Harry became 17? Is there a reason? Maybe he suspected... Because that's the thing, if he suspected that the Dursleys would be terrible to him, why'd he leave him? If he didn't, why didn't he give him access to some of his money to help reimburse them? I don't know. Maybe I'm just making too much. look at Minnie-Me.
Yeah.
I like how they did that with his hand, too. It's like grabbing, you know, like an M&M.
Yeah. Did it say the Daily Prophet? That sign?
I think it did. No, I mean, it seems too
positive. Oh, I love this part with the wands. This is one of my favorite scenes. I love Mr. Ollivander. He's such an eccentric character. I don't see a lot of him, but it's just kind of cool. And actually, isn't he, like, gone in Couple of Prince, they say he's
shop is
vacated. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, I think he's going to be back in Deathly Hallows. That's just my guess. Although he was in Goblet of Fire, but cut from the movie. Right. Seems strange that Hagrid went to get the... Such a cool guy.
Yeah, he is.
No, I was wondering why Hagrid went to get the Philosopher's Stone, because they make it seem like it's like a journey to Diagon Alley, whereas, you know, in the books, you know, once you can... Well, maybe because I can't. It just seems like someone could operate there all the time and just grab the...
Well, yeah.
The stone. Does it seem like they have to do it?
No, it works for the plot. I wonder how old some of these wands are.
You'd think he'd have some type of, like, testing range set up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know...
But he can probably just wave his wand and fix the lamp.
I know, but he, like, blows up half the shop. Like, you think you'd see the shop in ruins if, like, people are coming in all day long to pick out wands.
Oh, it's got all cobwebs on it.
I wonder if there was a reason... I'm just throwing this out here. I don't even know if it makes sense.
Nope.
I wonder if there's a reason Voldemort during the First War never went back for the Brother Wand. Maybe he didn't know about it.
I think maybe he didn't know about it.
The lighting in the scene, just the shadow of
it. I love it. There's just so much foreshadowing that I just love it in this one scene. What I love about J.K. Rowling is, you know, something as simple as getting his first wand. It's so complicated.
That's
really
a little dramatic there. I know they had to do something, but you know, it's actually like the spotlight turns on Harry.
Oh,
I thought
it was fine.
It's overdone. At least there's a spotlight in here, and somehow you were illuminated. It was amazing. Yeah, I was getting goosebumps.
I love this scene. It's perfect.
I love the song. Gave you that scar.
It's Mr. Gammon.
It's Michael Gambon.
He who must not be named.
I want to find the person that hired that man. We're going to make half this commentary about Michael Gambon, who's not even in the movie, thank God. No, he didn't. You obviously haven't seen the movie. Yes. Terrible. Terrible actor, and he throws Harry into a trophy case. Watch out for him, Harry. I love Hagrid. Really baked him a cake, you bum an owl.
Although we know Hagrid's not the best baker in the world, so I don't know about their cake.
He did a very nice owl for Harry, too. He didn't, pick out like a... Wouldn't that be great if he came back with, like, a blast-ended shroot? What's it called?
Scroot.
Scroot, blast-ended scroot. Just if he brought that back. That would really change the story.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Knowing what we know about Hagrid, he got him a decent pet.
I think he'd get him one with, like, fangs or something like that.
There you go, Harry. Here's a flubberworm.
It changes the scenes where Harry straps, like, a note to its leg and it just flops on the ground.
It's like, they're all sick. Fed him too much lettuce.
He's great in this scene. Okay, now Joe apparently choreographed the scene.
Yeah, did she?
I believe she did.
I think that was Aloha Moore.
The picture
I think it looked kind of easy to get in there. I mean, there were wards up.
No, they're not supposed to be able to see them in the house. Wasn't there a reference to Voldemort could look in the window and not see them, but because Peter Pettigrew.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, he's so cute.
So actually, it's interesting to go back and watch these now, knowing what everything means. Yeah. With the prophecy and everything. What a great word.
Codswallop. He is just... We're going silent because we're going to run into this. I love Robbie Coltrane as Hagrid.
Mm-hmm.
He does such an amazing job in this role. It makes me so irritated that when you get into the later movies, because they insist on making them 2.5 hours and family-friendly, they cut all the great adult actors down. Danielle's angry at me because apparently I'm covered with the microphone.
I'm not angry, I'm just, I don't want this to listen to it later, and it's like, parents and Charlie Brown, that would be bad.
Well, I'd sound fine, so they're really just listening for me, you're just having to be here.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That makes me feel special.
I'm glad.
Actually, he really should have told them how to get through the platform.
I know, it's like,
kids, like, where do I go?
Now, how does Hagrid disappear? He can't apparate. Can't wait until Hermione fixes his glasses.
Yeah,
how the hell does he get away from there? That doesn't make any sense. You wonder the security guards here, if they just see lots of owls walking in and out. Map from the forums is about to go ballistic.
Why?
Ginny Weasley's about to show up.
Oh, little Ginny.
Max cheating on Luna with Ginny. There she is. She's like 10 minutes away from the time.
Oh, it's Fred and George. I love Fred and George. I just love the actors, too, that play Fred and George. They're like, oh, yeah, we dyed our hair ginger. I love that they say ginger. That's great. Honestly, woman.
Oh, but them with short hair.
I know. So they're still, like, taller with the long hair by movie 4. I don't know. But they look good in movie 4.
I read so much fanfic, but I have such trouble remembering Julie Waters' face as Molly. I picture my own Mrs. Weasley based on her. Will you be my new mommy? She's so motherly, but what she's really trying to do is run into that wall very, very fast.
Ginny's one line.
Don't worry, you get to kiss him in the 6th movie. Move away from the wall.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you gotta move because otherwise Ron's gonna run right into you.
I bought one.
I wanna get the Lego Hogwarts Express. That'd be fun to build.
You have birthday coming up. Yeah. 9 months, but you have birthday coming up. We're gonna assume that Ron made that onto the train and that wasn't a deleted scene.
He's on there, don't I?
I'm very worried.
Although, it takes him an awful long time to find a seat.
How does he get the dirt in his
mouth? I was just thinking that. I mean, how does he get that on there? What was he doing?
I think he did that to chase the train down. Dan Radcliffe gets so much better as Harry. Rupert Grint.
Really not so much.
Not so much.
Poor kid.
It looks like he's got like frozen chicken, doesn't it? Like uncooked raw chicken.
They have like corned beef or something.
That's our monthly mortgage payment.
Aw. That's my daddy's salary.
Watch out, it's a death eater! I could have done this when I was 11, but if I tried to eat all this now, I think I'd be hospitalized.
I'd be thrown up.
Don't stop puking, ladies and gentlemen. How much of this candy did you actually buy?
I was just thinking, they really made a lot of this into candy you can buy. They have the chocolate frogs, but they're not in nice cardboard boxes, they're in bags. But with the wizard cards, Ryan got Voldemort, which I thought was pretty cool.
He's not supposed to be a hologram, though, is he? Is that just supposed to be?
I think that was them trying to make it look real.
They were unsuccessful.
Yeah, I know. But let's see, we got the Birdie Bots beans. Got the acid pops and fizzing Whizbees.
You have to love Peter Pettigrew. He's the most pathetic excuse for a human being. He makes an awful rat, too.
Well.
What?
Well, here's Hermione.
I love that. No.
This is the only movie where she looks like Hermione. Her hair is all
this
bushy.
This is the only movie I like her.
Yeah, me too.
I actually don't mind her in Chamber of Secrets, but I don't like her as much as I do in this one. Emma Watson takes a slow decline through these movies until she, ladies, forgive me, is PMSing entirely through.
Oh, no, she needs to take her mind all in movie 4.
Yeah. Remember, Matt Lewis Neville was on Pottercast and made a comment about how Brits don't say holy cricket.
No, they don't.
We say this like we've actually, you know, been there. I'm laughing because we're reading After the End right now, and we covered the early scenes where you just see how close Ron and Hermione become, and it's just so interesting to actually just watch the scene now and realize that that could have happened in the same universe.
I love I've read where there are the fan fictions where it's like, oh, I've loved you since the first time I saw you. I loved you when I first saw that dirt on your nose. I don't know. It's kind of cute.
That was after the end.
Was it after the end?
It was after the end.
All right.
Yeah, how did Hager get back?
I don't know. Maybe he can't apparate. Who knows?
No, he can't apparate.
How do you know?
How would he have learned to apparate?
Dumbledore could have shown him how.
Oh, there's an outtake I want to see.
Let's ask Joe.
I'll call him.
That you'll probably answer. It'd be great if the giant squid just came up and attacked them all.
Well, that's the thing. You're putting 11-year-olds in the lake, and yeah.
Yeah, why do they take them that way? That's kind of weird.
I think it's the first years always get the scenic route. I'm assuming the boats are self-propelling and they might actually have to row themselves across.
I think they did a good job with that outer shot of Hogwarts.
I like the smoke coming up through the chimneys. Dean Thomas before he was 19 feet tall.
Wicked.
We should have a drinking.
It's the only word I say.
We should have a drinking game with Wicked.
I love how short Seamus Finnegan is in this movie.
Does he get tall?
He's still short, but I mean, the actor in this one, he looks like tiny.
Keep your eye on him the second here.
It's so funny.
So Malfoy comes in, I believe. So this is the entrance hall. Because it's weird, because I picture Hogwarts separately in my head when I read. I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm a Gryffindor.
I love her right here.
Whoa, she apparently don't like them.
I've always been very interested by when you need to unite this world so much against evil, you separate everyone into houses and make you compete against each other.
Yeah.
It just seems very divisive.
Trevor,
you lost him on the train, but he ends up in Hogwarts.
And the house table.
I love that. She's like 18 feet tall. Okay, you were saying?
Oh, never mind, dear. It's
the
okay.
The house table's like, we really do like each other.
Where's Seamus?
He's about to show up. Look down.
This kid's good as Draco.
He's excellent.
Love the hair.
Look at him!
He's so little.
Is he possibly on another step?
I don't think he is. He's just little.
No, there's no way he's up to Tom Felton's waist.
Well, no. Now Tom Felton's up on another step.
He's good here. I like Rupert Grint's expression right here. I think he does the scene very well because he's very.
That's a good.
He's being bullied and he's not standing up to him. We read a chapter for after the end of this week where Ron just pounds Draco in a bar and it just seems so consistent from this. Oh, I love that. It would be great if she's just
very stern look. Get back in line.
I love that guy. Here's a question. What color ties are they all wearing right now?
Are they wearing ties?
Well, yeah, because they're not sorted into their houses, so they don't have their quest ties on. Must be so warm in that room with all the fires.
It's not real, you know.
Danielle, why don't you tell everyone what your GPA is?
Shut up.
Danielle has a 4.0 GPA, and we call her Hermione because she loves homework.
I don't love homework.
You make study guides when you don't have to.
No. Alright, well, he's still short. He's still a lot shorter than everybody else. But that is a funny scene on the stairs, and he's just looking up like, hey, you guys!
Is that Professor Sinestro right there?
One of them must be Sinestro, yeah.
Did I say Sinestro?
I think it's Sinestro.
I don't like this scene. What are the four words he says in the book?
I know two of them are Oddment and Tweak. I never remember. Blubber,
something.
Oddment, Tweak.
I can't. You know what? I would know them better if they would care to put the best lines of Dumbledore actually in the movie. I thought they start him off, you know, reading the daily schedule and it's just boring as anything. he's not... I'll give Michael Gambon this, and it kills me to do so, but at least he has some of that whimsical nature. Richard Harris is lacked with just the jokester side.
A lot of it is screenwriting. I mean,
I'm going to say this right now. The screenwriter of the Harry Potter films should not meet me in the dark alley. I give the writing of these movies somewhere between a D+ and a C-. I think they're the writing
bare bones.
It's very poor in these movies. In the direction, sometimes I'll even give it a little bit worse. I'm a huge fan of the books. The movies, not so much. But
I love the clap. That is great.
I do like the little clap
Dumbledore
there.
Dumbledore is awesome.
And you might be asking, well, if you hate the movie so much, why are you doing a commentary? The actors pull it off very well, and so much of this is Joe's writing. So Joe's writing kind of transcends, you know, the hack job the screenwriters do, but it just...
Well, Jen right now is saying, oh, Alan Rickman.
Jen has a thing for Alan Rickman?
Oh, she loves Alan Rickman.
I remember that.
He's good in this. I like him.
You know what? It's interesting.
I like that little black wig they got on him. That's good.
He does so well in this, but on the other hand, if you think about it, Snape is supposed to be, what, 32 years old?
Is he that young?
He's supposed to be that... Well, yeah, if you think about it, they graduated when they're 17. They're all in the same year. Potter's died, you know, maybe... Harry was one when they died. You know, they had them probably a couple years later, so they were probably maybe at most 20, 21, and this is 11 years later, so Snape's only 32 years old. Gryffindor! Wow, that wasn't expected. I think I'd be doing that. I love Matt Lewis.
Yeah.
All right, Madam Hooch in the back.
Oh, I love how Dumbledore sits up and he's like, oh my God, I gotta see where Harry goes.
We'll tell the Madam Hooch story later.
Okay.
That was nice. The candle moved. Five Hagrid. I do this in the forums when people want to be sort of different. I love that. It's your choices. It's not your abilities.
Well, if you listen to the Sorting Hat too, he has abilities of almost every house.
I think everybody does.
Well, yeah.
Everybody's ambitious to some extent. Everyone's smart to some extent. Everyone's loyal to some extent. Everyone's brave to some extent, but... Mm-hmm. I love Dumbledore here. He's almost...
And more bad editing, too, because at some point... he sits next to Ron, but then he ends up next to Hermione, right?
Yeah. What's with the hats?
No, it's the little things, people. Don't you rewatch the movies and you say to yourself, oh, we messed that scene up. I'm not sure she should fix it.
The little details there of the mug had the Hogwarts crest on. The mug, the glass.
Man, I want my dinner to appear like that every night. It's awesome.
Daniel's going to culinary
school. No, he's now next to Percy. Harry jumped ship. Ron's murdering those chicken wings. Kids like, I'm poor, I'm so hungry.
Oh, Seamus.
Those French fries.
Danielle and I are a huge fan of British comedy, everybody, which is why we're about to enjoy the scene so much coming up. You know, I was saying, it's interesting with the Sorting Hat because Hermione could easily have been a Ravenclaw. You know, Harry could easily have been a Slytherin. I don't know where the heck you put Ron other than Gryffindor, but... Well, actually...
No, he could be a Hufflepuff because he's tremendously loyal.
He's tremendously loyal, but you know what? I'm sorry. Ron in the movies is the first movie aside, the first movie I think is the closest to the canon. You know, as you get into Prisoner of Azkaban, as you get into Goblet of Fire... Ron in the movies is the biggest wuss I've ever met. He does not deserve to be in Gryffindor. It just... We started off with this movie because this is the one where you're least likely to hear, you know, the serious complaints from. I love behind you right there.
How can you be nearly headless?
What a snotty look on her face, all of that. You asked Hermione.
You did. Danielle is so much like Hermione. Everybody, welcome to my life.
I'm not that bad.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, because Ravenclaw has its own tower.
I don't like the staircase thing. I'll say it right now. That's stupid. I don't know why they made them move.
Now, how tall is this
it's
castle?
It's just like a stupid plot device they threw in. It's like, oh, let's just. All right,
there's no way. Okay, here's the thing. Think about it. You have four houses. You have, what is it, 10 students each year in each house? Because you have a dormitory of five. Boy and girl each year.
But I don't think that's set in stone. I think it's the type of thing where you're never going to know ahead of time who's going to be sorted where. You can probably end up with, like, two Slytherins, 10 Gryffindors. They probably just have more bedrooms. I mean, I don't think you can't... No, you can't set that. They don't know. They don't know coming in.
Okay, here's the original fat lady before you get...
She's old. I don't know.
Who's the fat lady in the third movie? She plays...
It's Dawn French. She's in a lot of British shows.
What's the thing? It's the Harry Potter spoof.
The Chamber Pot of Azerbaijan. She's the one that plays Harry.
Yeah.
She also plays the fat lady in Prisoner of Azkaban.
With her DD cup
size. Serious black! Whoa!
I was saying they actually have the Gryffindor common room in the right place in this. It's off, you know, in this, you know, random corridor. Whereas in the third movie, you know, they put it in the middle of the common area. Now, I'm saying, if there's... Even if you looked at the amount of kids who are in the Great Hall there, it's a few hundred kids, but they just had the castle, like, 58 stories high.
Yeah, it was a little...
Overdone. I like this. This is well done.
This isn't good.
This isn't in the book, I don't believe, but... Great moment. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, I have a friend. Could you imagine if Hagrid got him the flobber worm right there? He's sitting there with his
poking
worm.
It. Do you want more lettuce?
It does. Oh, he's so happy. And this was the other scene that was inserted. Not in the book.
Yeah, I don't like that they throw this in the first movie, because she doesn't do that till second year, right? She kind of saves it as a surprise.
They did that in the second movie, too. They moved the hunt. No. So it was just now, wasn't it?
What?
The thing about
Yeah, the Headless Hunt, that should have been in Chamber of Secrets, because they go to,
They put that in here.
They go to the death... No, they put it in Prisoner of Azkaban.
No, you see it in Prisoner of Azkaban, but when does he say it? I think he just said it here.
Oh, in the Great Hall. He says, my request has been denied, but I think it's the type of thing where he applies every year.
But did he just say that a few minutes ago? Or is that in the second movie?
You think about Nearly Headless Nick.
Yes.
Yeah, he said it in this movie, okay. But I think he applies every year.
We have
year.
The volume down here so you guys don't get an echo, so I actually didn't hear him say that.
Oh, and I wish they had left this scene extended, because the extended scene of potions is great.
Thanks for saying that. Let me actually just complain again, because I never complain. Some idiot at Warner Brothers decides, okay, we're going to make a Harry Potter DVD for the Philosopher's Stone. Brilliant idea. Okay. We're going to put the best of the deleted scenes on it. Okay, brilliant idea. You need 2 hours, a map, and a flashlight to find the deleted scenes. And once you find them, you end up forgetting how you got there, and you can never see them again. There are so many deleted scenes I love in this movie. I love the deleted scene after the troll in the bathroom scene. I can never get to it, because quite frankly, I would need to take a day off from work and find it. Am I getting heated?
YouTube.
I'll shut up now. Attention!
His hair's not greasy enough, though. It's looking a little bouncy.
Okay, you know what? My caffeine just kicked him. Kicking this into gear. Why is there lights coming into the dungeon?
I don't know.
That's the thing, too. In my dungeons in my head... Okay, that just sounded stupid. My dungeons in my head. The dungeons I picture...
Dungeons and Dragons.
The dungeon I picture when I read fanfic.
Oh, look at Hermione.
This is Danielle in class. I took classes with Danielle. This is oddly familiar. I picture, you know, an actual dungeon. Like, this room has skylights. What is this?
Oh, pick me.
I think the screenwriter built the set.
She's pulling an Arnold Rorschach right there. Oh!
Welcome back, Kata reference, everyone. Amazon.com. I was about to say, if they had unceremoniously cut the scene down to size there, that I think there's so much history that we don't know about with Harry and Snape. I think there's something that Snape knows that Harry doesn't know yet. It explains so much of that animosity that I just think that scene will be even more interesting once we read
Deathly Hallows. That's another deleted scene I love, is when Seamus says, in case anyone cares to notice, my eyebrows have completely grown back. Oh, I should have left that in. I love it.
It's the other black kid from Prisoner of Azkaban. We never find out who he is, but he gets the...
But he gets the line about line. About the
catching smoke in your bare hands or whatever. He's exposition.
Oh, he's
kid.
Got two lines then.
Yeah, he's got two lines. No idea. Because
the other one.
Look at Seamus. Seamus is like still frozen. He's like, oh crap.
He's got the line about the Grimm.
The line.
And then you're right. So catching smoke with your bare hands.
Who are you?
Who is this guy? I don't know who he is.
Who the hell is this?
Oh, look at Neville. Of course you have. Of course you've read about him.
Hermione's irritating me here, but Hermione should irritate me, so
exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. And Hermione should irritate you to a point, so. And her hair is frizzy. I like that.
To all you Harry Hermione shippers out there, I apologize, but I love the line. I think it's in the fourth book. Look at Minnie. In the fourth, there's Flitwick. The line in the fourth book where Harry is fighting with Ron and says, you know, it's difficult to have Hermione as a best friend. It's very draining. Yeah, for those of you not aware of it, the actor who plays Professor Flitwick was also the goblin who gave Harry his...
I'm sure they know.
Well, maybe they didn't.
They're hardcore fans.
That's true. No, the one that Hagrid says that, you know, Harry needs to go into his vault and asks if he has his key. Okay, this actress, Zoe something or other, I can't look her up on Leaky or the advertisements that start playing. She got into a huge spat with the producers about being underpaid, and there was this entire bad press about it, and there, you know, wounded feelings and everything. So a professor who, you know, turns out to be the key of the whole thing in book 7, you will see a different actress playing her, because Zoe over here will never be back. And she's actually wearing, I believe, my college graduation gown.
Yeah, I know.
Is that correct?
I just love that. I love that Hermione can't do this.
Is
like,
it?
She's like, up! Get up!
Didn't I mean to ask you, is there anything that you can't do?
Oh, yeah.
Name one thing.
I can't whistle.
Okay. I think it's fine. It's not my fingers,
yeah,
isn't it?
I don't know.
It's not my fingers. She's a very strange woman. I wonder if one of her ancestors was a cat.
That's what the cat is.
In the book, doesn't he plop like 10 feet up in the air and then fall?
Something like that, yeah. This is not as crazy as all this.
You know, I think there's a deleted scene. Doesn't he actually fly all the way to Diagon Alley?
You know, like, the CGI was not nearly as good. You can tell when it becomes CGI Neville.
Well, you can't. Oh,
look at that. Oh, that looks real.
Castle.
Colors are all of a sudden brighter. Yeah.
They'll teach you for complaining about your salary. Okay, now in the book, he flies like 10 feet up in the air. He just almost impaled himself
seven
times.
Yeah, I know.
Like
he almost gets stabbed. It's a little crazy.
Who the hell built this school anyway? Oh my god.
That's quite a tremendously sharp object.
Yeah, isn't there a spell she could have used right there to levitate him? Yeah, we'll just let him plop. He's dead. Oh, I'm sorry, Julie. I apologize. You're probably listening to this. Julie is the biggest Neville fan on our forums you'll ever meet. Check out her fanfic.
At least she doesn't try to fix it herself, you know. She brings him to the hospital wing. Unlike some professors, you know.
Oh, dear. Aggie Bell. Julie is Aggie Bell in our forums, perfectforum.com. Wasn't he just saying side saddle?
Yeah.
That's creative.
You make me so mad.
Oh, he knows how to fly. Harry loves to fly. I didn't think school brooms could go that fast.
Why does she have a mirror on her desk? Well, I guess she can't have a picture of it. Well, she could, but then you'd have to wonder who it is, and that would be an entire board in their forums trying to figure out who the guy is on the Bellicle's desk.
Yeah. She's single, huh?
They never hear about
a Mr. McGonagall.
No, Joe never tells you, because she's at one point that the private lives of the professors will come into play at one point. She says a lot of things. I think she just plays with us. I don't think she wrote book 7. I think she's just messing with us. Crabhead, bedhead.
Did he?
Yeah. Okay, they give you, I guess, a new Defense Against the Dark Arts classroom for the next few films. That should be the dungeon. Well, actually, no, they have skylights in there, too. Big one skylights.
Well, there we go with Sean Biggerstaff.
Mac on the forums is actually going to do a Sean Biggerstaff impression for us and leave it on our voicemail box. This is so cool reading after the end and then watching this because it's all the old characters coming back. You think Sir Nicholas and the Grey Lady ever?
And this is the most we get of Fred and George.
They should have opened with, and now, exposition.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. Now, this annoys me, because they changed this from the book. James Potter was a seeker.
Was a seeker. Right, but he was, he was a chaser, wasn't he?
Oh, I'm sorry, he was a chaser in the books, and and they make him a seeker now. You tell Hermione knows everything about the Potters and she just neglects to tell us for the past 7 years.
God, I hate this.
How did this happen in the book? That he had the duel with Malfoy?
They have the midnight duel and they end up...
You can tell they're... Well, this is our complaint about the movies. In the movie... If you made an 8-hour long Harry Potter movie. You
know, I'd watch it.
Well, you would, but, you know, most of America wouldn't. But you can...
Well, no, here's the thing.
Put all the scenes in the DVD and let them play in certain order or, you know, sell different...
Well, yeah, you need to take the Lord of the Rings approach. See, yeah. They were right about those movies. They're like, you know, we're not going to do them if we're not going to do them right. And they did them right. And you need someone with that dedication to do it, not the people that are doing it now who can't even cast Dumbledore.
I wonder if there's a Mr.
Norris. You know, with Lord of the Rings, they had an actor going for Aragorn. They got him going in the part, and Peter Jackson said, you know what, no, you're not the right actor for this, and he got rid of him. I mean, those are the choices you got to make.
But that was before, obviously, it was released, right?
Oh, yeah. It was very early on.
Well, Michael Gambon, he wasn't awful in Prisoner of Azkaban.
In Prisoner of Azkaban, he was
The
okay.
writing was so atrocious in that movie that, you know, I think Alfonso and Michael Gambon, you know, did what they could with what they had, but Goblet of the Fire, I can only hope it was just Mike Newell, because, like, literally, I was almost, you were there with me, I think I almost booed a couple times in the theater. I was so angered by Goblet of the Fire. Listen to the commentary, it'll be fun, I'll even swear. I love the scene. It's like Home Alone with the antiperspirant.
Yeah. Oh, it's Chris Columbus all over again.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah. It's Macaulay Culkin.
I almost met him once. Oh God, isn't that sad? The claim to fame is I almost met Macaulay Culkin once. I love
Ron.
You might
want to keep that to yourself, honey.
We can't edit this out. Just pretend you didn't hear that. I love Ron. He's
See,
mad
Ron
as
is,
hell.
Ron is
and
funny
he's not
going to
take it anymore.
He's funny in this movie.
Or his entire, you know, lines in the third movie are...
Or wah.
Gryffindor pansy. I'm going to bed. I think Pottercast
wrote that
line for
me. Oh, Wes expelled. That is great. See, she's actually Hermione in this movie.
You never do that to me.
Her Ron makes me laugh in this movie.
Jen from our forums is watching this right now and just is drooling uncontrollably. It's like she came from the dentist.
Aww.
Now, this is actually...
This is a good scene.
No, I'm trying to remember what castle this is filmed at, because there's actually a castle that the scene in the one with Hagrid later after the Quidditch match is filmed at.
Hoops. I like the way it says hoops.
You like him, don't you?
Yeah, when I first saw this movie, I was like, who's this? He's cute.
And obviously you don't think that anymore now. No. That's just completely left.
Oh, yeah, if you say so.
Okay. I wonder if they just, like, let these things go and they just fly off somewhere and, you know, beat some guy over the head 200 miles away.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do they always come back or no?
They must be charmed to always come back. Yeah, right.
I love this. Okay, Sean, wrestle with a ball that's not moving, but make it look like it's moving.
He does a good job.
He does.
You know what? I actually
just
realized
like, damn ball, get back in the case.
He's a great actor. I don't think they give him enough material to work with as Oliver, because he's not in the third movie, to my
knowledge. I know. Oliver's all about, like, the strategy, the pep talks.
I think
he gets
one line, I think, in the second movie where he complains to McGonagall about how she can't cancel the meet.
Right.
And she says silence would. And that's the extent of
yeah, I know. Well, that's all those little scenes you don't get in the movies. Wicked fast. I love that.
Everyone take a shot. Oh my God, the exposition is so thick in this movie.
The exposition is thick in the book. I mean, you're being introduced
Chamber
to
Secrets,
the world
Colin
where...
Creevy. Harry, explain to me how Quidditch works. Okay.
Oh, I love Flitwick. Although,
he looks like
you know, though, it's like Joe says, he looks very strange. He doesn't... What's with the nose?
Well, it was interesting, too, because... In the third... It's my... Welcome to my world, everybody.
She almost, like, laughs at him, though. It's so cute.
One thing that is just interesting to me is that they apparently cut Flitwick from the third movie, but then they brought the actor back to be the director of the choir. And I think it took until about the fifth or sixth time I saw the movie before I realized how many midgets are working at Hogwarts anyway, and actually clued in that it's Flitwick with a mop in his head.
I know in some fan fictions they have Hermione teaching Transfiguration one day. She could teach charms, too. She's good at it. I don't mean just in this movie, obviously, but she's good at charms.
Well, it's just very interesting, because you don't know what we were talking about this on the forums the other day. What job are you going to give all these people? I love how the room stops. What job are you going to give all these people? And,
Oh, he's so excited.
What do you have for Hermione to do if she's...
That was so me and you in college, right there.
What's that?
She's like, oh, look what I'm doing. And he's just like, yeah, go away.
I took one class with Daniela, and I got a 95 on one of our exams, and I was so proud when I turned around to show her my paper. And she's sitting there with her paper marked 104 as she's mouthing, I kicked your ass.
Thankfully, you never made fun of me like Ron's making fun
of me. This actor, really Seamus, must have had the best time in this movie. He's beat up in every scene.
Do you know I never noticed him in this scene before? I never noticed that he was all, like, messed up and stuff. I never noticed that.
Yeah, but what do you have Hermione do as a job if she survives Deathly Hallows? That's just interesting. I don't know.
I think she'd make a good teacher if
whatever you have her do, it seems like not enough. That's why I love After the End, because it actually...
Yeah, she's so incredibly talented that, you know, yeah, you don't want to see her doing...
That's a question. This is Rob Muggle on MuggleCast once. Why are these kids not obese?
Yeah, they eat a lot of crap.
Well, that would be Parvati of Gryffindor as opposed to Padma of Gryffindor.
Oh, yeah.
Goblet of Fire. We've got to do Goblet of Fire next. I love this line. I love Dumbledore just standing up. What do you want to know?
Yeah.
So fun. I love Tom Felton as Draco right here.
That's a typical Draco reaction. Oh, I'm scared. I want my mommy.
That is Dumbledore. He is the man. Don't you love, too, when he who must not be named tries to quiet the kids down and they're, like, throwing things at him in Goblet of Fire? Oh, my God. Yeah. This man would have, like, quiet a room down. Well, with this troll's in the castle, and he's like, okay, everything's calm, everyone walking, nobody says anything.
Well, he knows what's going on. I've got to cut him off. You know what I've been thinking about Percy a lot lately? All right, you have Percy...
Oliver Boyd, anything you want to tell me?
I don't mean the actor, I mean the character, who, as we all know, turns on his family, and... I don't know. I'm wondering if he's going to be the one redeemed, because he's in Gryffindor for a reason. He's got to be brave, and he's not been. He's turned his back on his family, and he's taken the easy path of, you know, saying, oh, the ministry's always right. I mean, something's going to happen with Percy. Otherwise, his being in Gryffindor is just...
Well, Peter Pettigrew was in Gryffindor. Well, it's interesting. A lot of people believe that...
But he could be redeemed, too. You never know. I don't think he will be, but...
CGI has improved so much since...
But you're talking about a Weasley.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of the theory that Percy is unmentionable? Percy's unmentionable.
Okay, this is why she's not so smart. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you've done some interesting things sometimes, too. Sometimes book smarts, you know, just don't equate over to... What do you think about Percy being in... unspeakable, and the whole thing's been an act. I love this, where wizards throw pieces of stall at it.
Well, they don't know enough.
That's true.
I don't know.
Pea brain, I love that. That's exactly what I would have done. Hold that question to us.
Okay.
Too. I love this. I'll hide under the sink. He'll never look there.
It's sort of like at the end of this book. Where,
hold on, CGI,
like,
Harry.
We need fire, and they're like, Hermione, you're a witch! Ew, that's so gross.
I love this moment with Ron. What?
You have a wand!
Swish and flake?
She's hiding
on the bottom of a sink, like, surgically attached to the drain by giving him tips.
I just love how stupid the troll is.
Mm-hmm. 3, 2. Stupid Grant's great in this. It doesn't last, but he's great in this. I think they would just snap the wand, dude.
Yeah, I know it. That would have been Nick killed all that, you know.
He dies.
Incantatum. Can't have that. Because the troll snapped it.
Well, although if you watch the movie, like John on Pyrocast says, Priori Incantatum, that's the spell that makes you see dead people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever happened to exposition in the later movies when you actually need it?
Yeah, when you actually need
it. This is how you play sports, but we can't tell you what this freaking spell
ew.
Is. Just, you know, the subtitle said boogers right there. What?
Huh?
Could you be any more obvious?
Look at Snape! What the hell are you talking about?
She's, like, reading this off cue cards. Oh my god, she is reading the Zom cue cards.
Yeah, that's what happened.
What's up with the inflation of house points? In this one, you fight off a mountain troll and almost get killed. You get docked 5 points. In the sixth book, you lose 20 points if you're late for class. It just seems like this tremendous inflation going on in the Wizarding World. Well, you get 50 points for, rescuing, everyone at the Ministry of Magic and doing the right thing. So maybe, 5 points for taking out the mountain trolls and stuff like that.
I don't know.
You're supposed to be a troll later in the book. Is that right? At the challenge at the end.
Yeah. Doing that. It's the same troll, isn't it?
Is it?
It's a mountain troll. Whatever. It's a troll. But it's already knocked out when they get there.
Okay, now, how obvious could you be at this moment? Whatever you do, don't let people know that there's something wrong.
But I'm going to limp away. I love the costumes they got him in.
I miss the deleted scene right there. I love the line in the book where, from this point onward, Hermione was their friend, there's many experiences in life that, buying people together and taking on a mountain troll is one of them. I'm badly paraphrasing that. There's a great moment in the deleted scenes that you have about 3 days and a map you can find, but... Just picturing Errol crashing into the table, but that's the next movie.
Errol.
I wonder where they could be. I wonder what it is.
Yeah, I wonder what it is. It looks like a broom.
Thinking of a scene from a night court where Bull gives Christine's baby a tricycle and wraps it skin tight and hands it to her and says, I bet you'll never guess what it is. He doesn't get it at the Great Hall in the book, does he?
Look at Oliver Wood in the back. He's like, oh my god.
When does he get it in the book? He gets it...
I don't remember. It's been a while since I read
Christmas.
The book.
He doesn't get it in the Great Hall.
I need to reread them.
Okay, I take that back. Wood does get a great moment right here.
Harry looks terrified.
I had someone give me a pep talk like that at work today. Well, the worst that happens, we all get fired. Okay. What do you think of Quidditch in the movies?
I like it. Well, I mean, especially seeing this movie for the first time. And again, I hadn't read the books before I saw this, so... It was, awesome to me to see Quidditch. Even though the CGI is not perfect, it's like, whoa, this is cool.
I hate all these commentaries.
Oh, yeah. I wish that the commentary was better. Because it dies halfway through. He's talking.
It's not funny while he has it.
It's like, he's not talking.
Because you can just imagine, in the books, McGonagall snapping up the...
To quote one of my...
What's he talking to?
To quote Walter, someone pull the string, he's not talking.
Should we tell him if that's from it? We'll leave him guessing.
We'll leave him guessing. Okay. And also, I don't like, though, looking on this now, is I don't like how, for the majority of the game in the movie, Harry's just kind of sitting there. I mean, granted, he doesn't do much until he finds the snitch, but, he flies around, he looks for it, and this, he's just kind of sitting on his broom. He doesn't do anything.
There's not supposed to be women in the Slytherin team, are there?
I don't remember. They got the captain good, didn't they, though? Marcus Flint?
Yeah,
that's Marcus, all right.
I love, in the fandom, Flint means mistake in the books, because doesn't Cho have him as a sixth here in this, but he's still in the third book.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, well, maybe he stayed back a year.
I love Joe. She creates,
it's always possible.
She creates, you know, such an in-depth universe with prophecies and, you know, just immense foreshadowing, and we're all screaming at her. Margus Flint, you know, is in Marvel too. And who is that? Is that Angelina?
Probably Katie?
I can't be Katie. Katie says you're in it. Oh, no, no.
Although I will admit, when I first saw this movie, I thought Lee was a girl.
No, you.
Well,
No, you can't have first years in the team. That's why Harry's the exception, because don't they usually not let first years try out? So you can't be Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That looked good.
Such a jerk. Here comes Oliver. Nice. That's a good save.
Good teeth. Jen, stop drooling.
Yeah, apparently they have a girl keeper. But I don't remember that.
What is he going into there? So these wands with the, was it the sonorous charm or something like that?
Yeah. Actually, you could just use that.
Okay, how many Gryffindors just went flying off into the woods?
Aw, that's not right.
Janet's crying somewhere in Texas right now.
And Harry's just sitting there, because he doesn't have to do anything.
I
love the tart. What is it? How do they say
tartan.
That? Tartan hat. I love that. It's perfect.
So, you know, like, wonder how she decorates her quarters.
Yeah. Also shows has a tin of biscuits too.
Light green plaid. Well, it's fan fiction. You read about it so many different ways. It's always the light green plaid. I think that's
probably Angelina.
Angelina the first, as opposed to Angelina.
Yeah, there's a second one in the Goblet of Fire. I love that scene though in Goblet of Fire when he asks her to the dance. That's great.
Given how Goblet of Fire is easily the weakest of these movies, we're coming.
I disagree on that, but that's me. I think Chamber of Secrets is the weakest one. I want a Gryffindor scarf. Except I don't want to pay $50 for it on Noble.
Gemma's telling me I think it's made with gold thread or something like that.
I like the scarves in this movie. They changed them by when you get to Prisoner of Azkaban, the different.
Oh, it's CGI, Harry.
Yep.
Well, they were saying, just real fast, they were saying,
no.
They were saying you can buy the actual scarves they use. No, well, obviously not the ones the actors wore, but you can buy the actual scarves, but because of the lighting, when you get them, they're actually a different color. Ron is not the person you want to be driving the car when you get
I don't want to be with Ron in a crisis.
What do I do? Which is actually funny, like you said later, he's the one that remembers Hermione's a witch.
Yeah, he says something in the books like, are you a witch or not?
Okay, now, is Dumbledore here right now?
Yes, he shouldn't be. That's a big mistake.
They cut the... There's a second...
Because they say that...
Snape is at... Yep. No, when is
Quirrell.
Snape the...
They say Quirrell would have never pulled that if Dumbledore was around.
So, in the book, this happened during the first match and Harry almost died. Dumbledore wasn't there. So in the second match, Dumbledore's there and Snape is the ref.
Yes.
And nothing happens out of the ordinary.
Right.
I love this line right here.
You're on fire! I love that. You're on fire! Again, you're a wizard. Put it out with your wand.
I love that little head shake right there. Like,
I gotta fix my hair.
My hair.
My hair is so
my naturally
flowing.
Shiny
my
hair.
Flowing and black hair.
Reminds me of that girl from the Peanut films, her naturally curly hair.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so is Percy Weasley in Unspeakable faking the whole thing?
No, I don't think he's faking the whole thing. I think he's just being a jackass. But I think in every family there's probably a bad apple, but I don't know.
I love that. If any of you have read Melinda Leo's fix, You'll know what
this
I'm talking
is this
about.
This is very reminiscent of Back to the Future. I'm sorry, the hoverboard. I love it.
is anyone in the same from the production end? Are there any connections between this and Back to the Future? Was that just
I don't know. Just reminded me of it.
I love McGonagall right there. Oh. Hey, look, Lee Jordan woke up.
Yeah.
If anyone has read Melinda Leo's fix, you'll know them talk about, if not, melindaleo.com. This scene always, for whatever reason, reminds me of the end of, or midway through Curse of the Damned, the final Quidditch match during Harry's seventh year. I almost picture Jenny being... I'm sorry, I always picture Harry being brought out to the pitch here on Jenny's room. This is bad when I watch the canon movies.
Some nice, that's some nice blue eyes on Harry, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love that friend George in the background.
Yeah, a little friend George.
No, at least we see yell Harry Potter present. It sounds like they're yelling Harry Potter Gryffindor, doesn't it?
Aren't they just saying rah rah or go go or something like
no,
that?
No, they say Harry Potter president, which is actually funny because wouldn't it be Harry Potter for prime minister? That's the same castle they used earlier, if it's a real castle somewhere. Love how Robbie Coltrane, well, obviously, I'll give the screenwriter credit where credit's due. I love how they add into Hagrid that. I shouldn't have told you that mentality. Dad's a drinking game. You have to take the fire whiskey for console.
If anybody out there knows how to fold your scarf like Hermione has it, let me know. I like the way it's folded. I can't figure out how to do it.
Danielle at PotterficWeekly.com. Send your tips. Do you have an email address with this?
Oh, I don't think so.
I'll say yeah before.
Just post about it. Oh, you did it again, Hagrid.
I should not have said that. This is actually a great edit, how they take out the... Okay, it hasn't come up yet. The way they remove the scene about the... Was it the chocolate frog card? They removed the scene about the chocolate frog card, but Nicholas Flamel.
They make it seem like Hermione
just remembered it somewhere, but that hasn't happened yet. We could watch that scene, but you know. Merry Christmas! Shouldn't it be Happy Christmas?
Happy.
I wish they deleted scenes where easily accessible. I like the scene too because they're out of their robes and they're just kind of relaxed and hanging back. Keep moving the Gryffindor table too. Yeah, they do. They move the Gryffindor table and they move the Slytherin table around between 2 and 3.
That's great. I used to have this chess game on this old computer I had back in the early 90s. It was Star Wars chess, and it was this similar type thing where you'd move a piece and it would, like, battle the other piece, and it was kind of neat. Like, I guess, as close to wizard chess as we'll ever get.
I love that they're really rubbing off on Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
Rupert does such a good job in this movie.
Christmas morning.
Danielle, will you please
tell
everyone?
Where it all started.
It's posted in the forums, but Danielle, will you tell everyone what you did for me for Christmas last year?
Yes. It was 2 years ago. I wanted to pretty much recreate what Harry gets for Christmas. I wanted to do that for Ryan so he could feel like Harry Potter on Christmas morning. So he got the sweater. It didn't have the R on it, but I was very tempted, but it didn't have that. But he had the sweater, got a box of mince pies and fudge and peanut brittle.
Homemade, all homemade
from Sue Beasley. And now I did it from all the books. So he had socks from Dobby. And I got the Hogwarts banner. I forgot about that. and books and bookmarks from Hermione, and a box of sweets from Ron. And the wand.
And the wand. Harry's wand. I have Harry's wand.
Because, you know, I can't do the invisibility cloak.
Yeah. That's just interesting, too, because something about that was brought up on Pottercast. Joe said that was enormously significant. Why did James leave Dumbledore Harry the invisibility cloak? Why?
Yeah.
Why didn't they have it with them if they were in hiding? It's a great line. What happened to my body?
For the longest time, when I first saw this movie, I thought he said, "That's really rad." I'm like, oh my god, who says rad anymore? And then I realized he's saying rare.
Oh yeah, because rad and awesome used to be relatively
equivalent. I'm like, okay, Ron thinks it's rad. I don't know. Oh, apparently it's still 1985.
I'm such a dork. I remember I used to say, oh, that's radical.
Oh yeah. Radical. Back in the days of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Radical and bodacious.
I was never a bodacious guy. As you might imagine.
That's not suspicious at all, Harry. You know, if I just see a hand floating down the library corridor, I won't think anything about it.
Such suspension of disbelief here.
I was just hoping to find a book called Nicholas Flamel. Famous Fire Eaters. Oh, that's creepy.
That makes reading difficult, I could imagine.
They're chained up. That's so weird.
Dumbass.
Although I love Filch's line, though. It's still hot.
That was one of my complaints about Goblet of Fire, and don't listen to our commentary on Goblet of Fire if you don't want to hear complaints. They tried to make Filch into comic relief.
Oh, but he was funny.
He was funny, but he's already comic relief now. This is hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
Show yourself.
I missed the screen.
Actually, the scene before the Forbidden Forest is the best.
You didn't have to turn him into a cartoon.
He's perfect. Right? He's another one that I really like the casting. He's good. For Filch.
First generation MacBook Pro here we're recording this with, and it's starting to get a little too hot for my taste, so I'm going to move it a little bit. Which means I made Danielle hold it.
Yeah.
Was this in the Forbidden Forest?
Yes.
Back in the Quidditch game? Okay.
Yep.
So can you see anything?
No, I think you can always sense, though, when someone's that close to you.
Is that in the book, that he could sense that?
Well, no, because he was flying above them.
He wasn't flying, he was walking.
This particular scene, he comes across as he's flying over the Forbidden Forest. Remember?
Was he flying? I thought he was walking and he had this invisibility cloak with him.
Oh, I don't know. Again, like I said, I have to reread. So excited.
Look at Snape running. Why would Snape be that? Seems like he would saunter off and just grab the kid and like bang his head into a wall like they're doing that. Have him doing Goblet of Fire. Doesn't seem like he'd be that.
That's a huge mirror.
Prediction, right? Yeah, it's interesting. I got Danielle the Mirror of Erised from the Noble Collection, and you sent away for it. You half expect the truck to come and unload this thing off the back, and it's really like...
Yeah, it's a little...
Danielle
meant to go
keeps
on your
it
wall.
On her floor, and she can check her other shoes.
No, it's... I want to put it on the wall. I just haven't.
Okay, my prediction, the Mirror of Erised is the Horcrux from Ravenclaw.
Yeah, that could be. It could be a Horcrux.
Well, that'd be interesting, too, because then Tom Riddle would have had to have come in contact with him at some point. And I'm curious, what does Voldemort see if he looks into the Mirror of Erised? sees himself.
Well, that's very interesting because you would think the thing he most desires would be immortality or absolute power. I don't know how you see those things.
I don't like the actor they chose to play James Providence.
Oh, he's awful. He's like balding.
He's too old. He actually looks like Robert Picardo, who plays the Doctor on Star Trek Voyager, doesn't he?
Maybe he's not balding, but he's got a receding hairline. That's not James. But she's good. She reminds me of what Lily would look like.
Well, they're only supposed to be 20, though. They're too old.
Well, no, they'd be in their 30s, like Snape.
So this is what they'd look like now. Let me take it back. If that's what they were going for there. Yeah, I mean, what does he desire? He desires to see his parents around him now. He's 11, so he wants his parents to be there now. Okay. I take it back. If this is them aged.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm getting into details there. Yeah.
This is what we do here on Perfect Weekly. We get into the details and we just discuss it.
I did like on that little spoof, the chamber pot of Azerbaijan. They're all trying to squeeze under the invisibility cloak. They're all way too big.
Well, they all get under it in Half-Blood Prince, which is probably impossible.
Yeah.
Which will never happen. There's a lot of talk earlier was this foreshadowing, but I think after Half-Blood Prince, we can determine. See any more Quidditch in the Harry Potter universe.
I love the way that scene looks right there.
The lighting.
Yeah, just Harry just sitting in front of the mirror. I just think that's a very powerful image.
One of the things we talk about a lot in the podcast, we talk about the character of Dumbledore and how in the early books he seems to be, especially in the scene in particular, this is always the scene I think about. How he is the wise old wizard who can solve all problems. It's because Harry's 11, and when you're 11, that's what the old wise man can do. As Harry gets older, Dumbledore becomes more and more fallible, and I truly believe it's not Dumbledore changing, it's Harry's perspective different. If Harry were 20 here, he would be perceiving through Harry's eyes a much different Dumbledore. I love Richard Harris. Just in case there's one or two of you who haven't heard the story, when he was approached to play the part of Dumbledore, he turned the role down because he would have been 84 by the time of Deathly Hallows release. And his, I don't remember how old she was, his young granddaughter pulled him aside, sat him down, and explained to him that if he wasn't Dumbledore, she would never speak to him again. Good for her, because... so gifted to have this guy for the first two movies.
He definitely has that gentleness that you just so picture in early Dumbledore and in the early books where he's the gentle, kind wizard that takes care of Harry.
Yeah, like Michael Gambon had that whimsical nature, especially.
Yeah, he had that in book three. He had the sort of, yeah.
I say Hagrid's hut.
But by Goblet of Fire, he's just, like, on crack. I mean, he's gone nuts.
Hagrid's hut's in Azkaban, because he had the addition put on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, there's no comparison between these two actors. I don't know why they hired Michael Gambon, but he's obviously...
I thought Christopher Plummer would have been a good choice.
Yeah, you said that.
For a new... He looks like Richard Harris, but not just the looks, but I think acting-wise. He's in a... Some of you might know him from The Sound of Music. He was, I can't remember his name, Von Trapp, the head guy there, but he was great in that, and he's a good actor.
If you're a Star Trek fan, he played General Chang in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. He's the Shakespearean Klingon. It's the first two movies do this. I can't remember if the third movie does it as well, when they do the... which are the months past, just by head replaying.
Right? Oh, they kind of do it with the Whomping Willow, which I like. Hermione, it's a library. You're supposed to be quiet.
She's about to shift into Supergirl Hermione, you can tell.
But this is what Supergirl Hermione should do. Read a book.
It's a great moment in the after
Don't
the
you
end.
Two read?
It's a great moment in the after the end where Hermione mentions that Fred and George put a homework repellent charm on Hermione, so for 3 days in the attempt to walk near a book her homework would fly out of her hands.
Ah, that's like real punishment for Hermione. We've never seen Madame Pince in the movies, have we?
We haven't. She's, I believe, locked in the cupboard with Peeves and Professor Binns.
No, and Winky.
We were having a discussion on the forums about how they take out, you know, Winky and Professor Binns and Peeves and Madame Pince, but they give us Nigel.
Who the heck is Nigel?
Oh, say the real one, dear. You know you want to.
No, it's okay.
This is Hagrid's hut, phase one.
Just before the remodel.
Before the remodel and the, you know, expanded, you know, kitchen area before they put it at the bottom of the large...
And the pumpkin patch.
Pumpkin patch, okay.
Oh.
I just love that.
Oh.
look at Emma Watson in this chair, by the way.
At least they put Fang in. I mean, Fang's pretty good.
Look at that thing, man. Bigger than his head.
Look at this dog.
Look at her feet.
That would be me in that chair. That's me in any chair.
You're my friend. Oh. It's interesting watching this because I usually disagree strongly with the people who say that Christopher Columbus should be brought back for, you know, movie 6 and movie 7, and I just think that, you know, that would just ruin the series. But the more I think about it, it's the actor, it's the directors and the writers who take it more away from the canon. In the end, I don't like it as much.
Well, I think a lot of fans, me included, I'm waiting for someone with the dedication and the knowledge and the budget, for one thing, but really the respect for the work that Peter Jackson had for Lord of the Rings. He was a fan first and foremost, and he'd read the books, I don't even know how many times, before he even attempted to make a movie. I mean, what do these guys give it, one or two read-throughs? I mean, and half the actors don't read it. It's just... It's not right.
It's always killed me about the series and the actors that play it. Yeah, and let's be upfront: Richard Harris never read the books. Michael Gambon never read the books. Richard Harris, just either whether it was a natural trait or whether it was just, you know, what Chris Columbus directed them into doing, but he just brought such a dedication and he just nailed the role of Dumbledore as much as Michael Gambon, especially after, you know, the terrible reviews I'm sure he's getting. You just think he'd have the intellectual curiosity to do what an 8-year-old does when he read the damn book.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and I know this is the criticism people have put against him too, is like, you know, if you're doing any part, like, you're going to play Richard III, don't you do research on Richard III? I mean, you research your character that you're going to play, and in this case, the material's right in front of you, go to a bookstore. You don't have to go very far.
I wonder why he didn't go with Snape.
That's a good point. Snape would have been harsher.
Why wasn't Ron there in the, It wasn't here either. It was when they were coming down off of the, astronomy tower. Charlie just picked up Robert. And they forgot the invisibility cloak.
That's right. So, yeah, it's funny, because I actually plan on starting to reread these, like, tomorrow.
Oh, really?
I need to start soon because I want to read 1 through 6 again before 7 comes out.
British editions?
I'll fly through the first three, but 4, 5, and 6 take much longer, so.
British editions?
Yeah, I'm going to read the British ones. Oh, here we have Filch.
This is why...
Filch at his greatest.
You never need to make this man as my...
I'm sorry, I enjoy watching that man run. It was so fun.
God, I missed the screaming. No, it's just... There's no need for it. This guy is just so much better. It's the straight face, bottom of the heart, serious guy. Why is
this
the dark forest?
Neville. This should be Neville, though.
Why is it the dark forest?
I don't know.
You ever notice that in... I believe in Azkaban, they have the dark tower.
They do?
Yeah, Sirius Black is up in the dark tower.
They say the tallest tower.
No, they say the dark tower.
Oh. Maybe it just had no lights.
There's the exposition of how Charlie came and we weren't looking.
Yeah.
Look at them!
Don't know what's about you.
A Filch pep talk. This is my brother Filch, my other brother Filch. Foreshadowing. You see, there's absolutely no need.
I still like seeing him run.
It's a very well spaced out forest.
It makes you wonder. There must be no rhyme or reason to detentions in Hogwarts. I mean, because he goes from this to signing fan mail to it's just like. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to how they give out punishment.
And there was even talk in, I think it was on a Can of Conundrum on Fathercast, why would Dumbledore let Harry go if he knew that there was danger? I mean, obviously he knows there was danger because the vault got broken into the Gringotts.
Unless he just figured Hagrid would keep an eye on him, but well, they separate at some point.
So. If you remember, too, that there was that interesting debate on Fathercast about how maybe Dumbledore knows everything that will happen to Harry because maybe Harry traveled into the past and warned him, so Dumbledore knows that Harry will always be alright.
I gotta admit, though, this scene is kind of creepy. I wouldn't want to be one of these kids out there. I mean, there's things lurking around in the background. That would freak me out if I was a kid.
I love the song.
Oh, here you go about your father. He can fix anything.
There'd be a great outtake right there if Draco leaned over and said, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but he's played by Jason Isaacs.
Yeah. And actually, isn't it odd that such a dangerous forest is so close to a school?
Well, I think that's just one of the you know, just the basis of the story.
Oh, right.
You know, what came first, the school or the forest?
Well, I know. I just think it's fun.
Yeah, what keeps them all from, you know, surging out of the forest and attacking the school. Not sure if they really are right here, but spiders maybe.
Ugh.
He actually looks like Macaulay Culkin, he doesn't. Now this is Quirrell.
Yeah.
Why is he funny?
He probably has more power.
You have to love Draco in the background there running in an angle.
Levitate themselves?
Yeah, but he doesn't look like he's... He looks almost like a ghost that's floating.
Yeah, probably the part of Voldemort that's in him. Centaurs are cool. I like them.
Yeah, look at that. It's like he...
Honestly, I'm sure it's probably... Well, either it's the movie and they wanted to make it look good, or Voldemort's giving them...
We're doing the thing here. We forgot to see.
Yeah, sorry.
Leave commentary because we're watching. The CGI here is good, but
yeah, it's because of
the dark blue lighting. It doesn't stand out as much.
Oh, I like the way they've created the centaurs. I like the way they look.
I don't see Harry in his robes as much anymore.
You know what? I kind of was a fan of the robes, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it kept it different. It kept it in, like, a different Hogwarts universe.
Well, you know what I always thought was... I always find strange... It just... When you look at the magical community, it seems like whenever they talk about an older person, like, they talk about them in such a way that they don't know how to really dress like Muggles. Like, when you had the Quidditch World Cup, it's like there are guys in raincoats and I don't know, all these weird clothes that they didn't know how to dress like Muggles. But yet it seems that all these kids, you know, that it's normal for them to just dress like a Muggle. It's like, well, then why, when you get older, do you always wear robes and you all of a sudden forget? Like,
it's because
it's kind of strange.
It's because my mother calls me every day at work and asks me how email works. It's just some... The young kids get it. The older people don't. When the young kids become the older people, then the older people won't get it. They just won't get other things.
That puts life in perspective, doesn't it, Ron?
Oh, it's just so uncomfortable.
And Dumbledore conveniently goes missing the next day.
I like Dumbledore to fall for that either, isn't it? Because they move the scars on the side of his head.
Yeah. Instead of right down the middle.
Because I picture, you know, in the fanfics in the books, when he's holding the scar, he's holding the front of his head. Now he's like holding the side of his head, like he just got beat over the head with something. Yeah. Now watch here. Emma Watson is actually mouthing Dan Radcliffe's lines.
Yeah, the second part, but you can see it.
Bad CGI work here.
Yeah, it is.
Emma Watson seems
to be... Oh, the CGI got better, because the scene, you know...
She's just shaking her head and looking around like, no, terrible, awful, no.
That's one of the benefits of Goblet of Fire, if you think about the scene with, you know, he has to battle his dragon there. It's incredibly... real looking, whereas this, you're like, okay, it's a nice fake Hogwarts in the background.
Well, it's made that episode of Punky Brewster and Mrs. Johnson learned to drive, and yeah, we see the new screen in the background.
Uh-oh.
Should have said that. I think that's in danger of being overdone in these movies, just the constant. Should have told you that. I think the ghosts see the tables, too. I forget if that's book or not, but that just seems odd there that McGonagall isn't angry at the tone they're taking with her. Instead, she answers her questions as though she's a plot device and not there at the house.
Well, she's going quietly.
I love how she sends them back to their room and then Snape sends them outside.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The obligatory 7th years. But it's interesting too when Harry. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Aside from the Weasley twins and Angelina, you really don't. I think maybe Katie Bell as well, because she's well a year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get. Oh no, maybe that was Katie Bell earlier.
Yeah, see, she's not the same year as them.
I just find that interesting that you never really get a sense of, like, the groups above Harry other than the Weasleys and the Angelina. You never get the sense that there's, like, 30 years or 40
right.
different door streams.
Well, they don't interact much, except, like you said, with the Weasleys. I mean, Cho's a year ahead of them, but...
Yeah, that's actually a very good, very good image right there. If you notice Snape walking away, he looked just like Quirrell did in the forest. So foreshadowing it. Or attempted foreshadowing it, at least I should say. Julie right now in Texas is sitting up on Neville.
Oh, I love his pajamas.
Granny
probably bought them for him. I'll fight you.
Oh, poor Neville.
You know, when Dumbledore's dishing out points at the end, I don't know, maybe she should have lost a couple for,
Actually, if you think about it.
Sure, for stunning Neville like that.
Harry and Ron get 5 points each for defeating a mountain troll. And Neville gets a full 10 points for offering to fight the two guys.
Yeah.
That seems like it should be flipped, but I think if it gets flipped, they lose the house card. No, they still win the house card, so. You think you'd make it harder if you get in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If one of their brother has a welcome one.
I forget, what did they bring with them in the book to play in case, to play for music to keep the dog asleep?
Oh, that remember.
Did they bring, like, a...
Did they bring anything?
Flute or something? They brought something. It kind of bugs me in the movies how careless Harry is with his invisibility cloak. Like, the dog's breath blew it off and he just left it over there in the corner. It's like, come on, that thing's valuable, man. Hold on to it.
Yeah, because in the third book, he leaves it, or, yeah, the book, not the movie, he leaves it at the bottom of
Yeah, and actually in the books, too, he's kind of careless with it.
Yeah, there's even a reference, I think, they were concerned after Goblet of Fire. No, was it the map? How would he get the map back from Mad-Eye movie? Maybe it wasn't the cloak. What's the breeze coming from right there?
See, I always thought it was... Oh. Actually, no. What breeze?
Hermione's hair was just blowing.
This was from the dog's breathing.
Yeah, I feel like it's still...
Oh, no, it's probably coming up from the...
Ron gets the shaft in this
that's
one.
That's gross. Actually, everyone gets bogeys all over them, except for Hermione.
Bogeys? And they finally don't scream like, Macaulay Culkin.
Sorry, this is, to me, very reminiscent of the scene in Star Wars where in the trash compactor, that's what it reminds me of. Except, obviously, that they don't get... The wall's closing in, but they get attacked by the,
This entire scene...
Devil's Snare.
I think is going to be so important when it comes to Deathly Hallows. I think you're going to see these three characters going through some type of task at the end to defeat them. To destroy one of the Horcruxes. Voldemort's going to have all these challenges, and I think there's going to have to be sacrifice involved from them. And I think it could even come down to one of the trio. Just realistically, I think there's going to have to be some type of sacrifice, or maybe Hermione is like removed from the picture for a while.
Ron irritates me here. It's like, okay, you just saw them do that and they're fine and yet you can't follow suit?
Ron's never been the less relaxable of the trio.
True.
No, is it in the book she forgets she's a witch?
Well, in the book it's fire. And yeah, she's like, do we have any wood?
The life of a muggle-born.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. She's grown up a muggle. I'm sure it's those instincts are pretty strong.
Then the mountain troll came later.
I believe so.
No, you figured there's over 1,000 keys in that room.
Probably.
Harry has to recognize the one with the broken leg.
Which Ron was astute enough to point out.
Now, in the book, they all get on brooms, right?
Yeah, actually, they all do. They all go for it.
Which is interesting.
Oh, this Ron's like, I know what I'm going to do. Alohomora.
You think if Alohomora didn't work here, it would have worked when they tried to get into the underground passage area. Okay, here.
What?
There's hundreds of those things in the room. It's just amazing that he can see the one that he needs.
Well, he's a seeker.
Sure, but there's just so much glitter in the room. I mean, it's like putting up 1,000 snitches and having to recognize the blue one. Seem mildly painful.
Mm. Well, at least that one's going a little bit slower.
It's in a broken one. Sorry, we're watching it again.
Yeah, I think what would have come next would have been they would have seen the troll that was already knocked out and defeated.
And then they would have had the
Then they would have had the potions. No. Well, yeah, they would have done the potions.
I think so.
No. They couldn't have done the potions next. It would have been the chest because they all make it through, except Ron, and then. Hermione has to help him do the potions, and then she stays back, and then he goes on alone.
I really think you're going to see that again in Deathly Hallows. One by one, they'll be stripped away from
it. Although I can definitely see why they didn't put the potion scene in. I mean, that wouldn't be very exciting. Be like, okay, let me stand here and figure out this riddle. Okay, I figured it out. Go ahead.
There is no graveyard.
This I thought was really cool.
I like the reference to the graveyard there.
This is a great scene.
I like the destroyed pieces at the side, because obviously Quirrell made it through already.
Right. This is McGonagall's charm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what have you had so far? Professor Sprout, Professor Flitwick and Professor McGonagall.
Well, who put the troll there? Was that actually Quirrell?
I believe it was Quirrell.
Yep. And her hair's just getting bushier as the movie goes on.
Having a bit of a day.
They definitely got the crimper out to do her hair. I love it.
Rupert's good in this movie. I've said that like 5 times already, and I just want to repeat it. It's okay to say it for me. It's been a great moment if the thing like looked over at him first.
He said, "What? You're sending me there?" I think you guys were all discussing on the forum. How many of you want the chess set? Although I like the Hogwarts houses one where there's all the four different houses. So you
That'd
can
be cool.
play, you know, you can play house against house. I like that.
Gryffindor versus Hufflepuff.
Oh yeah, Ravenclaw versus Hufflepuff. Queen is kind of tough looking.
She's got a really big sword.
I think I'd want to mess with her. I mean, do you ever think, like, maybe he could have gotten off the horse?
I don't think he could. No, you have to stay in your square.
Couldn't he stood right next to it?
Well, it's not even described like that in the book. Is it? How is this described in the book? In the book, is he on the horse, or is he just standing with a
horse? No, I don't think he's... I think he's just standing where it would be, and the,
which
the
is why
it smacks him on the head.
Yeah, which is why you can't... Which is why you couldn't have it that way. You know, in the film, because if he...
Yeah, he would have got hurt pretty bad.
Off, he, you know, it would differ from the movie. It would differ from the book. In the last brave act of Ron's life...
According to the films.
We're going so easy on Philosopher's Stone here, I'm realizing. Just wait till you get to Azkaban. Goblet of Fire. Please don't let this be foreshadowing. Because you're a pain in the ass, don't you love it?
I'm just thinking, Goblet of Fire, you won't even tell Harry about the dragons.
Why'd you bring that up now?
Sorry. I'll stick with good Ron.
Well, it's pretty much gone now, so you can say what you were going to say. Yeah, she digs him.
Oh, yeah. She wants to get over there to her Ron.
It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
This little one right here, between these two. Stay with Ron. Take care of him.
You stay there. For as long as it takes. If it takes you 20 years to get him back to the way he was before he got hit over the head with him.
Well, let's just blame it on that. He got hit in the head really hard. And, you know, and most of the movies, he just kind of forgot who he was.
And he gets very frightened if anyone comes near him because they're going to hit him on the head. I think we've done it. I think he figured out the problem with movie Ron. He's too afraid of cranial damage. You ever notice at the end of these books, you always have, you know, the bad guy doing the, you know, the
complete explanation of everything that's happened in the past 12 months.
And I love, too, how...
always opens with, like, well, you know, here's what happened.
I love J.K. Rowling when people say, you know, oh, you've gotten so much darker as the book's gone on. She's like, you know, the end of Philosopher's Stone, she's like, I still think that's one of the scariest things I've ever written. With the Voldemort on the back of his head, and it is creepy.
Well, the book also begins with the double murder, so...
Yeah. He's got the icky long fingernails, too. Oh, like, oh, that's another thing that bugs me about Michael Gambon's Dumbledore. He's got those gross long fingernails.
I love how Michael Gambon is not going to be in this for two more movies.
Oh, but it's his fault, too. It's like, it's your fault. It's not the costume. It's his fault.
Why would it be the costume department?
I don't know.
This is never quite God, so it appears... I mean, here's the thing. What if Harry wished for... And this is right on Mugglecast, I believe. What if Harry wished for a Horcrux right there? Would he see it? Would he see himself holding it?
I think Dumbledore put some kind of charm or spell on it, so that's just how it worked in this particular case. It's something that Dumbledore did to it. Look at those fingernails. It's gross. Men shouldn't have fingernails like that.
But women can.
Actually, no. I keep them short.
I wouldn't say Potter.
See, this his eyes are red in this one.
This is a great scene because if you just look at Quirrell's face while Voldemort's talking, it's awful. I think we should change the name of this from a commentary to a watching along with you.
Well, this isn't really a... When we have fully reborn Voldemort, it looks quite different. And it doesn't... I mean, obviously, it's played by someone really different, but... Way more snake-like as we saw, because they took away Ralph Fiennes' nose.
Yeah.
He's got a little nose in this one, but he's not nearly as creepy-looking.
I think he's baiting him as soon as he says, would you like to see your mother and father? That's the silly thing he wants.
Yeah. Very manipulative.
I don't know quite how that works.
What?
How he wishes he had the stone, but he doesn't wish she use it, and how that gives it to him, whether that's through the...
He wanted the stone so that Quirrell wouldn't get it, and he didn't want to use it.
Right, and based on that,
dude, look who can fly.
Yeah, this scene is greatly changed from the book as well.
Yes.
Because he never sees Quirrell die.
No. And he only burns him. It's not like his skin disintegrates like this. He just really burns him.
Yeah, what happens to him? Does he just go to St. Mungo's in the...
Well, that's a good question. No, doesn't he die? I think he dies.
Okay.
It's like when Voldemort left his body or whatever. It was... I killed him. Oh. What I can
this
do.
This is new.
Yeah. By this point, Dumbledore is swept in and kind of cleaned things up.
Yeah, that was awkward. And here's the scene that comes completely from the canon. Wait for it. Wait for it.
The essence that is Voldemort.
And
Harry, turn
you'll never
around.
Guess what he did this time.
So this could never happen in the book because there'd be something incredibly significant to the soul of Voldemort passing through Harry like that or something. Like, it wouldn't just be that simple. I love this scene with Dumbledore. This is perfect.
Alas, Elix.
It's perfect.
My apologies, everyone. I'm starting to wind down after a long day, so my commentary is getting thinner and thinner. I'll try and find something to complain about shortly, so.
He just looks so much like Dumbledore.
I love it with the beard in this too. He's got the
ornate clothing. He doesn't put like a dumb bow around his beard. Like, what's with that? Oh, there's just so many things wrong with Michael Gambon. I don't know. Oh, he was so much frailer in the second movie.
Yeah, because his cancer is bad.
Okay.
Sorry, like doze off here. Sorry, everybody. It's been a long day. Was up editing episode 3. Imagine Michael Gambon delivering that line.
No, I mean, he'd be like smacking Harry over the head as he said it.
He'd be doing it to the entire Great Hall. One of the more brilliant ideas!
And it earned me eternal glory! Ugh.
Melissa had a great line off Michael Cass. Dumbledore does not say eternal glory, he says nitwit, blubber, augment.
We're just given these little slivers of information that, wow, what an important key to the whole story.
I wonder how much he is holding back. Well, you know, but it's
But it's funny, though, when I saw this movie, having never read the books, and, you know, you see this movie, and you're like, oh, that's a really cool concept, like his mother died for him and it protected him, and you think that's the end of it. You think, oh, okay, no big deal. And then you read the books and you're like, whoa, that's like so key to the whole story that I just love the way she just weaves all this information in.
I love this line coming up.
Yeah. And Harry's like, no, it's not going to be Toby. That's perfect.
I miss you, man. Say this like he was my godfather or something, but I seriously don't.
I know, I remember I was in the kitchen cooking one day, I was making dinner, and had the news on, it's like, an actor, Richard Harris, has died. I was like, oh no! I literally, like, I almost cried. I was just so sad.
She got her hair cut and trimmed. are back.
Yeah, no, what's with the hats?
So Grabble of Fire, this would have been the first 15 minutes of the movie.
So basically, they just get points from, like, not only what the teachers give, but all their Quidditch points are included, right?
Yeah, there's a reference in one of the books, too. If they win the next... Look at McGonagall. If they win the next match, they'll be tied for the House Cup. Or for the Quidditch Cup. And if they win again after that, they'll be in running for the House Cup. Mm-hmm. So the Quidditch Cup gives you points to earn, you know, partially, at least towards it.
And the happiest Snape ever looks. Well, Snape. Snape's like, wow, what?
What?
What's going on here?
That was the brochure he handed me.
Oh, the flask of pumpkin juice. Whatever that was.
For great inflation.
Look at the look on Ron's face. He's so proud of Hermione.
I didn't see it, so I'll pretend it wasn't there.
Oh, and then Hagrid.
I have a bad feeling about Hagrid.
I know. Draco's like, what's going on here? I don't like this.
Which is apparently 10 more than the chess set.
Yeah. Well, he did face Voldemort. Well, you know.
I like McGonagall here.
Me too. She's got a little tear in her eye for Neville. Those little kids, aww, like, okay.
I love it. They have to hit him on the back before he snaps out of it.
Yeah, who do you think took the spell off of him?
Julie, we want a one shot. What happened to Neville after he got
the full body bind? Yeah.
You're jumping on that.
That's cool. I want to be able to wave my hands and do that. I would just love that.
There's a scene coming up where Lee, I think, grabs Harry and starts hugging him, and I swear to God, Lee was a woman during that scene.
Ooh, Hagrid. Yes. Yeah, you know what it was? Lee's voice didn't change, so he had a very high-pitched voice, and I swear I thought it was a girl. Until I read the books, I'm like, oh, that was a boy.
It's right after we get the look back from Harry, Hagrid, he just starts yelling, yay.
He's such a spaz.
He is.
Except during the Quidditch commentary.
You know what really kind of grates me about this movie? You can tell all the background actors were told to do very simple things. They come across as force. Like, that kid just laughed in a very fake way. And this is moved up from the hospital scene here.
Yes. Oh, I love this.
I love the size of the book in the story. It's true in the book, everyone sends in pictures, including Snape, I believe. Or Snape was asked, was that true?
I don't remember. It's a different James, though. In the picture that we see of his parents in Prisoner of Azkaban, it's a different actor playing James. Actually, it could be a different woman, too.
Because I think what we determined, or at least what I determined, is in this, he's seeing his parents as they would look now if they were alive, and that is a picture of them when they were alive.
Yeah, but that's the same actor playing, and they look the same age.
In Azkaban, they look the same age?
No, they look younger.
Well, yeah, because in Azkaban, it's a picture of them when they were 20, whereas here, this is what they would look like if they lived at 33.
Right.
And Jack... Dan Radcliffe's worst line in the movie right here. It's just the look he gives. There it is.
He gets so much better. Just think of the graveyard scene in Goblet of Fire. I mean, that was just great.
I feel so bad for our listeners. We're going to get so much less charitable the more of these we do.
Although, it's like I say that I think Chamber of Secrets is weak, but when I watch it, I'm like, I just think parts of it are hilarious.
Hogsmeade Village. We keep you all with us as we try and find the deleted scenes, but I don't think that's happening tonight.
Yeah, Ryan's about to fall asleep. So.
Ryan is. I felt so bad. I've watched this movie so many times. I was actually starting to... I've been up for like 18 hours. I was starting to get very tired near the... actually, during the climax of the movie.
Yeah,
scene
I know.
With that quarrel. I knew they'd make it.
So, there's our first film. We're on to credits. I don't think we need to comment on the credits.
Well, we could. Is there anything exciting in the credits? Talk about Duncan Henderson and what he brought to the film.
Mm. What were we saying? There's always a... What's that title that's always in every movie? First Boy.
Best Boy.
Best Boy. Is it First Boy? Whatever.
You know what the Best Boy does? Email Ryan at PowerPickWeekly.com. John Williams. He was gone in the third movie, right?
No, he did movie three. He didn't do four.
That's right. And he wants to do four. And
although I like whoever did...
I do, too.
And I like, too, that I think... I'm wondering how much influence Alfonso Cuarón had with John Williams, because if you listen to soundtracks for the first two movies, they're very similar. There's not that many differences. Then if you listen to the third, it's extremely different. So I wonder if he told him, like, hey, I don't want a rehash of one and two. I want you to make it different, which he did. And it sounds a lot better.
We were joking before we started recording tonight, if you go on the... special features on this disc, it shows, you know, I think the names of all the actors, and I was complaining that nearly Headless Nick came before Dumbledore, and then Danielle explained to me that was actually just the, you know, the characters in alphabetical order. Okay, now we're just reading the credits. So we're going to cut it here. This is our first experiment at a commentary. Next time, we will be covering Chamber of Secrets. We will not tell you when, we will not tell you where, and hopefully we'll do it when we're a little bit more caffeinated, because my coffee didn't seem to kick in very much tonight. And hopefully we will find much more to complain about, so we'll be talking to you guys more. This movie, I think all in all, comes across...
It's a good intro movie.
It's a good intro movie.
It does what it needs to do.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
Yep, and there wasn't a real lot to really jump in there and dig apart, but... Oh, when we get to Michael Gambon, will that change?
Oh, just wait.
All right, so for Potterfic Weekly in this bonus episode, I am Ryan.
And I'm Danielle.
And have a good night, everybody.